Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. David is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of financial experience. And because he actually provides advice to clients on a daily basis, our hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory Services and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. Commentary given during this radio program is usually pretty smart, but should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities should not be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual's situation. Only if you hire David and his firm to help you, and only available where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Here he is, David Holland.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I have another very special guest. Yes, I know, I say they're all special, but doggone it, they are. And I have a repeat guest for you today, Murray Holland. Murray Holland, welcome to the program.
How are you doing, David?
I'm doing great. Now, listen, we have to tell the listeners here we're not related, at least we don't know that we are, right?
That's true.
But
we don't know.
But the Holland name has to carry with it some level of intelligence, right?
Obviously.
All right. Thank God.
Anybody with that name's got to be very intelligent.
I was a little worried there you weren't going to support me on that one. Okay. All right. So I invited Murray back because we got a lot of positive feedback from the last interview we did with Murray. Murray's an author, and he's written the book, A Nation in the Red. And the website for today's program, wouldn't you know, is anationinthered.com. So tell us a little bit about the book, and then I want to take advantage of that. I already told Murray, I already warned him, I want to take advantage of that big brain of his and have him give us some perspective on our nation and the amount of red ink and talk about where we are and what's going on in Washington. So, Murray, tell us a little bit about the book.
Sure. I started this project to figure out how deeply in trouble the United States really was. I've got a 30-year background in the finance industry, analyzing companies, taking companies public, doing mergers, acquisitions, et cetera. And so I applied all my investment banking skills and knowledge to an analysis. And at the end of my research analysis on this country, I decided I had to write a book about it because we the people, need to take action in this country to save this country from the types of economic shocks that we've just witnessed in a number of European countries. And that is the purpose of the book. I wrote it really to talk to moms and dads,
yep,
and particularly moms and dads who have children in their teens, 20s, and 30s, because this is the generation that's going to shoulder the burden of the debt that we've put on this country in the last 30 years.
Well, I have to ask you this, and this is going to be tongue-in-cheek and a little bit smart-alecky, but I know you can handle it, Murray. When you talk about the debt and where we are, and you've done this analysis using using an intellectual and investment-based approach, does that make you a mean-spirited financial guy to call into question policies that are adding more and more red ink to our national debt?
No, just the opposite.
Okay.
Throughout my business career, companies have hired me to advise them on financial matters. In this country, Congress operates under the assumption that it can't happen here. An economic crisis can't happen here.
Right.
But it has happened here, and it will happen here. We are marching headlong into a trap, and I describe the trap and how it works in my book for countries like this.
That's why I ask you such a loaded question, Murray, is because it seems like any time, and maybe I've got a little bit of maybe I'm a little sensitive because I'm a financial guy like you, and I'm dealing with people's investments and their finances every day, and people come in to meet with me, and they are looking for a self-determined solution for their finances. In other words, they're looking to take what they've worked hard to accumulate and then make sure it's going to last so that they can remain independent and be able to take care of themselves. And I know that there are people that have had a very bad hand dealt to them by their birth or by how they were brought up or their socioeconomic situation. But I ask you that question because I don't think it is a mean or wrong thing to do or somehow unfeeling to say, look, we got to get a handle on our spending.
Oh, no, not at all. Congress has operated for so long without any care whatsoever about the financial situation. They've been warned by the Federal Reserve, the Congressional Budget Office, by every major central bank in the world, by other nations that we are walking down a path to destruction here, and they don't listen and they don't react to what they say. The only reaction we can get out of Congress is if we, the people, make it an issue. And that was the purpose of my book,
well,
is to get people educated to see what the markets are getting ready to do to us, and then how the government and this whole issue affects our economy and our currency.
I think you're spot on, Murray. I mean, I think that people need to realize that this is a serious issue, and we are a nation in the red, and that is the name of the book, A Nation in the Red. Murray Holland, he is our guest. Murray, let me take a quick break. We'll come back, and I've got some other questions I'd like to get to you and get your feedback on.
All right, David.
All right, hang right there.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read. You'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
A Nation in the Red. That's the name of the book, A Nation in the Web. A Nation in the Red. On the web at nationinthered.com. There you go. You don't have to fix that, Lisa. Lisa's like, I'm going to mark that. I'm going to fix that. Murray Holland's our guest. He's the author of that book. And Murray, welcome back. Yeah, let's talk some more about where we are with our... And you know, I went to your website on the break, nationinthered.com, and you've got actually right there the usdebtclock.org. Pops up, and you know what? To be honest with you, it had gotten away from me a little bit. We're at $17 trillion
right
now in national debt. It seemed like just the other day it was 16.
Yeah, it's ramping up pretty quickly. And as I explained in the book, today we have so much debt already incurred, but we're not feeling the effects of this debt now because we essentially have a zero interest rate policy that's being manipulated, and I think properly so, by the Fed. But what this does is it masks the underlying debt problem.
Mm.
And the underlying debt problem of the countries is always interest expense. When they start having to pay interest expense, that's when it crowds out the rest of the budget. And in the case of the United States, we've had an average interest rate, blended interest rate on our national debt of about 6% over the last 50 years.
Right. So we've been getting a major break here lately, haven't we?
Exactly. And so the problem that we have is either when the economy rebounds or when investors start risk adjusting the U.S. debt, we will see those interest rates again. We may see higher. In the 70s, we saw interest rates in the teens.
Well, the risk adjustment's a very interesting concept, Murray, because if and when our debt does become risk adjusted, you could see significant jumps because we don't have to look very far. And again, this is part of what I do as a financial planner is I'm looking at, you know, investments and countries around the world. We saw a major risk adjustment, the most pronounced, of course, being Greece. And then even to a lesser extent, we saw it with Spain and watching their 10-year treasuries and what was equivalent and what was going on in their country. So that's the thing that frustrates me. And that's why I wanted you on the program to help me understand it. You know, the guys in Washington, the guys and gals, they're not dumb people, right?
Well, they're not.
Or is that a question?
They're not savvy economically.
Well, I guess, I mean, I'm like, maybe they're smart at getting elected, and they know how to slap everybody on the back and smile for the camera and have the face full of teeth, and they know how to get elected. But how do we get them to pay attention? I guess it's at the voting booth, I suppose.
Right. And so that's the issue, and I've spent a lot of time with a lot of very smart people, political people, about this issue, and the way that we have to make it work is we, the people, have to make this an issue. And so the action step that we need for everybody to take, for instance, the businesses that I've owned in the past, I never felt it was my place to lecture employees about the economy and what Congress is doing, et cetera, but that has to change. And so each person now needs to understand the problems and then start talking about it with their friends, in their workplaces, in their churches, in the schools. And this issue has to become the number one issue, because this is the serious threat that we are faced with. Countries actually fail because of debt. And John Adams, our second president, was spot on when he said that there are only two ways a country can fail, and that is by the sword and by debt.
How about that? Two presidents in, and he's already talking about debt. There was no national debt authorized at the time, was there?
Well, there was.
Or was it
used? The federal government actually took over the state debt from the Revolutionary War. Yeah, so they had debt back then. But there's been, you know, we've known about, economists and politicians have known about debt problems for thousands of years. You know, the first bankruptcies were 500 B.C.
Mm.
And so the government bankruptcies. And so this has been around in hundreds of governments have defaulted thousands of times on debt over the years, including Greece, which has defaulted 5 times in the last 200 years, and Spain 6 times. And so the natural inclination of countries is to continue borrowing right into a trap.
Borrow into oblivion.
And we are certainly in that trap today. We are not feeling it because of the low interest rate environment.
Well, you know, Mary, you make the point, and I think it's a very sound one that we need to be willing. There's so many things that are taboo in the workplace that, especially for the owner or the boss, and that's where I'm at here in my business, and I am very careful not to talk about certain things. You know, if I start talking to my employees about, well, you know, look, here's what you need to know about where the world is, am I going to have the American Civil Liberties Union showing up on my doorstep?
Not if you talk about economics. If you talk about politics, like saying this, and that's what I've purposely avoided, because this isn't going to get fixed by one party. This has got to get fixed by a lot of people from many different parties.
I'd even go further, Murray. This is not a one-party problem either. I think it's got the solution is not a one-party solution, and it's not a one-party problem, because I don't think anybody could really argue with the fact that there has been plenty of contribution of the spending and the lack of fiscal discipline. And there are so many examples of what we would consider frivolous or reckless spending, the pork project, so to speak, that are from both sides.
Exactly. And there's a reason and explanation for the growth of government spending, which has led to this debt, that's been a slow kettle to boil over the last 80 years. And that in the book, I explain how we grew that so slowly but so steadily to get to the size we are today. Just 80 years ago, the government was only about 3% of GDP, the federal government, and it's now 25% of GDP. It's one quarter of GDP.
Oh boy!
Yeah, and it's not a single party. Not one party did it, and you know everybody's responsible, but. But at this point in time, I don't care about that. What I care about is how to fix it.
Yeah, you know what I'd like to do? I'd like to send a message to every politician, every person in Washington, D.C., all of our elected national leaders, and say, look, let's all do one big fat mulligan. Let's do one big fat clean the slate. Bygones be bygones. Let's sit down and let's work on ways to move this country forward, which really requires a growth strategy, not just a tax increase or spending decrease, but a growth strategy for our country. And let's stop the pointing about we're gonna have a new ball game. We're gonna reset the clock and reset the second half for our country. And let's start now and stop bringing up the past. And let's go forward and let's start keeping score starting now.
Exactly, and we better do that, because there are a lot of countries around the world who figured out how to do that, and that's precisely what they're doing. And we're getting out competed. Here in the United States, we don't sense it because we live our lives, you know, in whatever city we live in. But certainly around the world internationally, there are countries that are far advanced in a capitalist society than we are. And
which is ironic, because we were the capitalist entrepreneurs of the world.
We taught them how to do it. Yeah. And they've taken our lead and
taught them how to do it and rebuilt their factories and gave them systems and structures and technologies and say, go get them, boys. And then guess what? They're going and getting them, and them is us.
And them is us is correct.
All right, Murray, let's do this. Let's grab another quick break. Murray Holland's our guest. A Nation in the Red is the book. AnationInTheRed.com is a website. We'll be right back.
What's your dream? Play golf every day of the week? Turn that hobby into a new career? With careful planning, you can make it happen. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your no-obligation consultation. At Holland Financial, we want to help you take the first step towards making your dreams a reality. That number again is 888-747-7526.
And we are back, and the gloves are off, ladies and gentlemen. You know, I've talked to my staff, and I said, you know, there's some things I need to talk about, and what do they say? Change begins with me, Murray.
Change begins with you.
Yeah, we got to be candid, have a candid conversation about these topics that, you know, people don't want to hear about it. They're like, I got my own problems. Well, guess what? We all got a problem if we can't send the message to Washington. Murray Holland is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. If you're just joining me, anationinthered.com. A Nation in the Red is the book. You know, sometimes I make fun of our politicians, and I think a lot of people do. Sometimes they seem like... And you tell me if you think I've got this right. It seems like they think they're an aristocracy. Like they I mean, all that's missing are the white wigs.
Well, I think that's one thing that happens to these guys. They may be from Dubuque, Iowa, but as soon as they get to D.C., they are treated like kings.
Okay.
There's, you know, thousands of people calling on them to get them to you know, give them money.
Mm.
And that basically is their job up there, is to go spend $3 trillion a year, and that's what they do. And so they, when you're controlling that much money, you're a very popular guy or girl. And,
yeah.
And so we have that phenomena up there. And by the way, this phenomena has existed throughout time. Back in kingdoms, they called them courtesans, and they were the people who managed the spending for the king.
How about that?
They were always the popular people. So everybody took them to dinner, gave them presents, et cetera, just like they do with our congressmen, because these guys have the keys to the bank.
Yeah. And so they get courted, and, you know, they get complimented. And unfortunately, you know, your compliments are like chewing gum. You enjoy them, but don't swallow them, right?
Exactly.
And maybe they've swallowed lots of chewing gum. Maybe that's the problem, Murray. Well, let me ask you this. Because I know that you talk a lot about the trappings and difficulties of debt in your book, A Nation in the Red. Give me, I'm sure you've got an opinion, so I want to hear it. What are your thoughts about the impact of this affordable or unaffordable health care act? What can be, or what could be, or what do you think will be the impact of that on our debt?
Well, I have a part of a chapter that talks about the cost of regulation. There's been a lot of economic research on the cost of regulations in a lot of countries. And the consensus of those who've studied it is this cost, our current laws and regulations are so restrictive on the economy, this is before the Affordable Care Act, are so restrictive that they are costing us between 1% and 2% a year of GDP growth, of economic activity. These are big numbers.
That's a lot of money.
And over time, we're talking millions and millions of people who are unemployed because of regulation. And so I've read, you know, there are obviously thousands of laws in the book and thousands of regulations that affect it. But here's an example of one that is particularly, you know, disturbing to me that we've done this. And this started back in the 1880s with a law to help the unions and the shipbuilders. There was a law passed that said that unless your ship is built here in the United States, you can't use it to port passengers between two U.S. cities. And so that's why, for instance, on the whole east coast of the United States, there are no cruise lines, big cruise lines, or on the west coast or in the Gulf Coast. And that is because ships have to be built in the United States to embark and disembark passengers from two different cities. So you see activity in southern Florida going to the Bahamas and going to Cancun, et cetera.
Right.
But you don't see them coming up the seacoast. Well, how big an industry would that be? If think of all the you know, tourist attractions all up and down the East Coast and the millions of people who would flock every year to that. Just that one simple law is costing millions of jobs. And we've got to have hundreds of these laws and thousands of regulations that just flat out put companies out of business and people out of work.
You know, we just need to move to Mars, Murray, and start over.
That would be a nice thing to be able to do.
Well, I tell you, it baffles the common sense of us regular common people out here who are not breathing all of that money-filled air in Washington. And of course, we've been watching this ongoing debate about healthcare, which is what, 1/6 of our economy, and how we're going to quote unquote fix it. I know that there are people that don't have access to healthcare, and that, or at least preventive care. You know, if somebody's got an emergency, very often they have access through hospitals where they will treat you. But you know, prior to this Affordable Care Act, a lot of people had stuff that they liked, and it was working for them. But this is going to have a major impact. You talk about regulation. I mean, all of this healthcare talk could really impact and even drive the debt even higher.
Well, exactly. And just mind-boggling to me is that this was done without even studying what all these other countries have done with it and what worked and didn't work there. We can learn a lot of lessons very cheaply off of somebody else's nickel. And instead of doing that, we go start from scratch, you know, recreating the wheel, and we will go through the same very difficult learning process that all these other countries have already done. And so this just wasn't done with enough work behind it to, you know, figure out how to make it work.
Well, maybe they're going to just, the last time you and I talked, one of the things being floated around was a platinum $1 trillion coin. So maybe that's going to be the solution.
I recall that.
I wrote that down. I had that on my paper. I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. Well, you know, the currency has an enormous effect on all of us. When you live and work inside the United States, you don't feel it so much, but it's there.
Yeah.
And there's an international market for our currency, and that's how international goods flow. And we have a significant economy based on international trade, and it affects all of us indirectly and a lot of people directly. And so currency is a major issue that we have to keep our eye on, and what's going on now with our national debt and crush our currency and really hurt us. It hurt a lot of jobs here just from a currency perspective.
Well, and let's give people a real example. If our currency, and you're talking about the exchange rate versus the other currencies around the world, if there is a lost faith or confidence in the U.S. because of our debt and because of other problems that we are, I think, to a large degree, bringing on ourselves, and there's that loss of confidence, our currency could lose its exchange rate value against, say, for example, the euro, which has been, you know, which is, when it was originally started, wasn't it a 1-to-1 ratio when the euro came out, €1 to $1?
Yes.
And so today, at least at the timing, the taping of this show, we are around $1.35, $1.36 per euro.
Right.
So
exactly.
If that were to change significantly, let's say it costs $2 to buy 1 euro, and all these other currencies, of course, are all very interrelated, right? So that could translate to a barrel of oil costing, say, $200 a barrel.
Exactly. Well, when you take a look at the rise in oil prices, a significant amount of that was just due to exchange rate, so our weakening dollar.
Well, then we better start working on, and I've talked about this on a somewhat steady basis or frequent basis, that you know, we got to get this energy independence thing. Wouldn't that be a big way to really help our country?
Absolutely, yeah. We've got a large exchange deficit, and it's mostly because of energy. But it's we have and the only reason our currency is held where it is we have what's called a reserve currency, and that is most of the world trade is done with dollars.
Explain what the exchange debt. You said the trade, was it a trade deficit or exchange deficit?
That's the flow of funds from international in international transactions. More cash is going out than is coming back in.
Hmm.
And we've had that problem for quite a while. But that normally would lead to a very weak currency. But the reason it hasn't is because of our currency, what's called a reserve currency.
Hmm.
Countries have to have our currency, like China,
to trade
internationally.
Uh-huh. Well, we better hope that doesn't ever change, right?
Exactly. And, you know, of course, now most countries don't like the fact that we have that reserve status and are working day and night and trying to figure out how to get around it.
Yeah. Well, we hope they don't do it anytime soon.
Yeah. It'll be just like our national debt. It'll slowly build over time, and it is building over time.
Mm.
You know, now they're exchanging baskets of currencies and things like that with using other currencies. But we still have almost 80% of the world trade is done in dollars.
Well, we hope it sticks. If you're just joining us, Murray Holland's our guest today. The book is A Nation in the Red. The website, of course, is anationinthered.com. Quick break. We'll be right back.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
Welcome back. Murray Holland's my guest. A Nation in the Red is the book, or nationinthered.com is the website. Murray, so here we've talked about the debt, we've talked about the problems, we've talked about, you know, the devaluation of our currency, all these challenges. So let me ask you to give me some talking points. Now, let's say that I just bumped into Marco Rubio or Bill Nelson or DeSantis or any of my elected representatives here from Florida, or somebody listening to this program out in California bumped into their representative and got on the elevator with them and had, you know, a 30-second ride in the elevator. What should we say to these guys to get them thinking the way we need them to think?
I think what we need to say to them is that fixing our national debt problem is our number one issue. And I'm a voter, and that's the number one issue to me, so that we can continue to provide our children and their children a better economic environment than we have. And that's certainly not the case today, as anybody graduating college knows. The job market is very tough, and what happens with countries that get into our situation is they have to spend so much money on interest expense that the other expenditures that they would usually have to make, they've got to forego.
Like education.
Yeah, exactly. That's what happens to countries, and the reason they default is, for instance, Greece could pay its interest on its debt, but it'd have to cut back over 50% of its pension payments to, you know, retirees and other social payments, and it's so unpalatable to do that. It's more palatable to default, and so that's what countries do. And we will easily be at 20. If we were at 6% interest rate today, for instance, on our national debt, the debt borrowed from the public is a little over $12 trillion. If we were at 6%, that'd be $720 billion. And we only took in $2.8 trillion last year. And so if we had $720 billion in interest expense, that would leave us right at a little over $2 trillion. And last year we spent almost $3.5 trillion.
Mm-mm-mm.
And so it would make our deficit significantly worse, and we would have and this is the trap that countries get into. So then they want to borrow more money, and then of course the market says, I'm not going to charge you 6% because now there's more risk. I'm going to charge you 10%.
Right.
And then that makes the problem worse, and this is the trap. Well, we are essentially in the trap, and the only reason we're not feeling it right now is because of the zero interest rate environment. And so the message that we need to send to all of our elected representatives is that me, the voter, the number one issue to me is fixing our deficit. That's the number one issue.
Yeah, so fix it.
Exactly. So you got to fix the deficit. And we now know from OECD data, there are two ways to fix a deficit, and that is spending cuts and tax increases. And we have 40 years of OECD data from the 34 largest economies in the world. And we now clearly know that tax increases hurt the economy far more than spending cuts.
Well, I'm going to give you a third leg of that stool, and then when you got to run, Murray, is
right.
I'm going to throw in that we need to invigorate and stimulate the growth of our country by tapping into our energy resources and exporting our technologies and really do it that way, and not, I agree with you, not trying to do it by increasing taxes, because you're just killing the cow today that you want milk from tomorrow, and that's not how you get there.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And by the way, my book, today is the official release date. It was McGraw-Hill is the publisher, and it should be in stores everywhere today.
Outstanding. A Nation in the Red, that's the book. Murray Holland's the author. The website, anationinthered.com. Murray, thank you again for being on the program.
David, thank you. Good
you're
to
welcome.
Talk to you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.